This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, happy Friday out there to everybody at TFMR. We have a little special treat for you today. Instead of your usual Friday weekly wrap-up podcast, we're going to kind of spin the dials, pretend like it's last weekend. I don't know what we're going to do here, but as you know, usually on holiday weekends like Labor Day, we bring in the Golden Jackass, see what his current thoughts are. Didn't do that last weekend, so we're doing it today. In fact, actually, Jim and I are recording this on Thursday, to be honest. Jim Willey, of course, an old friend. I don't know Jim now, what, at least a decade?
And, it's 10 years. It is at least 10 years.
Yeah, we were young men back then, Jim. What has happened to us?
We've gotten old and our beards have turned white.
That's for sure. Anyway, Jim, of course, the editor of the Hat Trick Letter, which can be found at golden-jackass.com. No time like the present to get as much quality information as you can, as many perspectives as you can. Jim has been at this now for, 20 years, Jim?
No, it's 18 years and a couple, and 4 months.
18 friggin' years. So he obviously knows what he's doing. Now, Jim, now that I've introduced you, and again, I want everybody to go to golden-jackass.com and check out a subscription, check out all the other buttons he's got there. In fact, he'll even consult with you if you need his individual attention. Jim, I what I want to do, since, again, we don't have the whole long form format today, I want to mainly just get you in really in your wheelhouse. Like I mentioned, we've been friends now for over a decade, and you take a lot of heat for this over the 10 years. You have been at the forefront of talking about the dollar, the shice dollar, as you used to call it, for what might be used domestically once the monetary system transitions to whatever is next. And now, man, things move at a pretty glacial pace. So when I say they're speeding up, it's not like things are happening, in the next couple of days. But this move of de-dollarization and what the BRICS are doing, and all these events kicking Russia out of SWIFT, all this stuff. I just want to get your current thoughts on all this, Jim. I'm not really sure where to start, but let me put a couple of dots out there. We know about Russia with the new Moscow gold standard that they're trying to come up with and a new physical exchange there. We know what China has done with the Shanghai Gold Exchange. They now have they're moving out of all paper contracts. I know that's probably something that's been on your radar. We got India massively increasing their gold reserves on just a record pace here this year. I mean, there's all these things out there. How close are we? Where do you see all of this here in September of 2022?
Well, you hit about 15 different areas.
Yeah, I did.
And you asked me where. Okay, let me just roll out a bunch of things.
Okay, do it.
I firmly believe, based on all my information, all my analysis, that last November and December, the exporting nations of the world, of the globe, the export nations refused the dollar. They refused the treasury bill. So the log jams created at the port facilities and the Davos and Wall Street Uber lords got together and made a decision to invite Ukraine into the NATO and to invite the Azov militia in Ukraine to murder people in the Donbass. Russia on cue at the end of January entered for a cleanup operation in Ukraine that has not ended. And now all our problems are from Russia and not from the global rejection of the dollar. The dollar is in a default mode. It's internationally rejected right now. Has been for several months, and we're blaming it on Russia. We got a food supply problem. We got a supply problem in metals. We got a supply problem with just about everything, and it's either the Chinese responsibility or the Russian responsibility. And yeah, that's a factor, but what started it? They rejected the dollar. Okay, you've got the de-dollarization, Craig. that has gone crazy. The de-dollarization started about 4 or 5 years ago after the first Ukraine Maidan coup. Mm-hmm. The de-dollarization was led by Russia and China. They created the Shanghai gold contract, oil contract, and yuan contract, the triangle for, you know, the Holy Grail.
Yep.
Oil deal,
yep.
The 10-year, $230 billion deal. Okay, so the de-dollarization began back 5-6 years ago, and now it's in absolute high gear. The Russians are in a new problem. They've got a problem that the Swiss had back in 2012. Remember they created the 120 euro peg with the
right.
Swiss?
Yep.
That was because money did not trust the euro and it was entering Switzerland at too fast a rate.
Right.
And they created a fixed peg. And what we learned 4 or 5 years later was that there was four sides to that. The Swiss franc, the euro, gold, and the dollar. And that is how they dragged down the gold price from $1,900 high to about $1,300, $1,400 stable catatonic price. From between 2016 to 2019. Okay, so the Swiss National Bank, which is their central bank, bought up a lot of stock. They bought probably over a couple of $1 trillion of US stocks led by Apple.
Yes, they did.
And they did not tell us what they were doing, but they were using that in a gold arbitrage. Sell gold, buy stock. And that's how they drag down the price of gold. And now what we've got is the Swiss sounding the alarm very quietly. You probably haven't heard much about that, but the Credit Suisse information was related to that about 4 months ago. When they have to unwind their dollar position, they're going to have to unwind their short gold position. So I don't know how they're going to manage that without jacking up the gold price to 2,500. So that's another big factor. The Russians have a problem like the Swiss, that they're forcing the European member nations, the EU member nations, create a Gazprom bank account, pay us in rubles, but now suddenly about 2 months ago, about July or so, the Russians announced, we'll take euros. And I thought, you're damn right they'll take euros, and they're going to start storing euros as forex reserves in the form of euro bonds. The Russians are now in a problem. They cannot accept too many rubles, or they'll jack up their price, their exchange rate of the ruble, just like the Swiss had their risk. So now the Russians are diversifying. They've already announced, we're going to diversify our asset in forex. And I don't call it forex. Reserve. They call it reserves among friendly nations. So they're going to store yuan. They're going to store Iranian rial. And one of the funniest stories that I heard, it made me laugh for 5 minutes when I read this 2 months ago. The Russians just sold, I think it was about 3 tankers of oil to India. And I believe it was around May that India changed their rules where foreign entities could own big bank accounts and assets in India. And they did that in order to favor the Russian supply. So the Russians could keep money. Again, the Russians are diversifying. They did not want payment in rubles. And they told the Indians, if we can keep payment in rupee, Indian rupee, will keep it in your country and will be investors in your industry. And the Indians agreed. Okay, fine. But now, recently, 3 tankers full of Russian oil was delivered to Indian refiners. Okay, they're making gasoline and diesel. They're running their economy.
Right.
And the Russian, this is hilarious. The Russians gave them an invoice and the dollar is the accounting unit. It is not to be paid in dollars. The oil price is determined in dollars. the accounting unit on the invoices in dollars, and they said, pay us in United Arab Emirate, UAE dirham, D-I-R-H-A-M. You're going to be hearing a lot about that currency. UAE dirham. It's dirham, dirham. I call it dirham.
Okay.
And it's one-to-one pegged with the dollar and not subject to sanctions.
Aha.
We're going to see the UAE dirham used for payment.
Sure.
Among the BRICS. And that opens the door to the discussion for the BRICS. Soon they will have a second eye. It'll be Iran. India and Iran will be the two eyes. Iran is going to be a major player. Okay, let me just ask you a little trivia question. What country is the biggest supplier of foodstuffs to Iraq?
Oh, well, I guess you're leading me into saying Iran, but is it?
Exactly.
All right.
What is the major supplier of diesel to Iraq?
Okay, same.
Iran.
Had all those near riots with the Iranian-backed solder people into the green zone of Baghdad about a week ago? Anyway.
I don't know.
That Sorry.
Might have been a staged event.
Yep.
By the U.S. military hired people in ISIS. I don't know. The Green Zone and the Iraq embassy, the U.S. embassy in Iraq, that could turn out to be the most gigantic shopping mall on the planet in a couple of years.
I threw you off. Go back to Iran because
okay,
I just saw again news this morning as we record this that the latest nuclear deal is all but dead. Which maybe Iran feels, well, we've got tight enough alliances now with Russia and China. What are you going to do to us? I don't know. Go on.
I don't think the Iran nuclear deal is dead. Israel reluctantly is about to sign it. Last week, they announced we have no choice but to go along with this. I've got sources that tell me the Iran nuclear deal is 9 parts out of 10 completed.
Well, regardless of that, I don't want to throw you off on your extra eye in BRICS.
Okay, if there's news that the Iran nuclear deal is dead, it's probably coming out of the UPI and America. What UPI
yes.
And press? What do you call it? AP and
AP,
UPI.
Yes,
and
it was
Bloomberg.
A U.S. Yeah, it was a U.S.
Yeah. Okay, good. In other words, they don't want it.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's dead. It means they don't want it. And, you know, I got news for the American clowns who are running things. You're going to be outside looking in real soon, if not 3 months ago. Okay, Iran is special. I'm not a big Iran fan, but I have a certain source who came from Iran and who keeps in touch with me once in a while. Iran is going to turn into the BRICS ambassador. They have lined up the entire Gulf region to join the BRICS. They've got a peace agreement, a commercial peace agreement with Saudis. And for those who don't know, UAE is joined at the hip from Saudi Arabia. UAE is a major investor in crypto and digital finance. Their dirham is going to be gold-backed and will be accepted as a dollar equivalent all through the Arab world with 1 billion people. Okay, the BRICS is captured the Middle East. They've captured the Arab world. They just signed up Egypt. They have captured whatever UAE signs up for. You can expect Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman,
yeah,
Qatar, all of them. Qatar has had a long-standing relationship with Russia with respect to LNG technology. Okay, the BRICS have captured the Gulf region, and there's peace between the Iranians and the Saudis and UAE, and there's not been any shell fire, no artillery, nothing in Yemen in over a year. Okay, now, Iran has lots of different trade partners, and the way it would describe to me is Iran is making 20 different deals. Like Iran is the hub of the front of a wheel and 20 spokes are heading out and all the 20 countries are in a ring and it's called BRICS Plus. I've been calling it expanded BRICS. They're starting to call it BRICS Plus. That's easier to, you know, print out with your fingers in the typewriter. BRICS with a plus sign. Fine, fine. All right. Argentina, neighbor to Brazil, which is the B in BRICS, Argentina asked to join. They're in the BRICS. That was about 3 months ago. 1 month ago, Indonesia, with a long caravan of Pacific Rim nations, also asked, knocked on the door, to be included in the BRICS. So what we're starting to see here, Lord Hemke, is something remarkable. We're starting to see a global trade union, not a Eurasian trade union, a global trade union.
Of exporting nations.
Yes, yes. If Argentina joins the BRICS, expect Chile, Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia. Expect all of those Andes nations to join. And that's metal supply. Chile, copper, silver. Oh, my God. Mexico is going to join and give the middle finger to Washington.
Well, yeah. What do you have left, Jim? At that point, you've got the U.S. and Europe and then the rest of the world surrounding them doing their own thing.
Well, think of it as the U.S., Western Europe, and the Five Eyes. Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the Five Eyes.
Yeah.
They're all going to be outside looking in. But China will drag in Australia. I had a very unfortunate interview, a consult with a client in Australia. And he said, China owns Australia. China is now killing Australia so they can colonize it. Okay. He said, my country is pretty much killed. My country is pretty much on the road to complete destruction and colonization. And they've even flooded the beautiful farmlands of the Northeast, he said. And after the flood, the Chinese are going to buy the farmland, stop the flooding. It's all geoengineering. They've got constant vaccine pressure. They've got constant exposure, like in Victoria, in Australia, for Chinese bribery. CCP, Chinese Communist Party, but it continues and continues and continues. He said they own all the ports, they own major businesses, they own some banks, they own it all, they own the media. My country is history. And I think it might have been exaggerated, but anyway, your point is true. The Five Eyes, Western Europe, and the United States are going to be all that's not in this expanded BRICS.
I kind of back up to Iran too for a second, because I've never seen, I don't think they even post what their official gold holdings are. But I have a friend of mine, good friend of mine, who would know that has told me they've been hoarding and importing gold for years now. And I wonder how that all, with them as a partner in all of this, how that impacts things too.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because now I don't have to, I know you're in support of the point I'm going to make. I've got an Iranian client and I've known him for several years. He's a good guy. He does not live in Iran anymore. And he was not educated in Iran. He was educated in the West, and he's English speaking and he's got other connections. He said, Jim, I've got family that are in this country, that country. I've got a lot of friends who, came, I knew when I was young and they're not in the US, they're elsewhere. They're in France, they're in England, they're in Italy. So he's got a lot of information. And I asked him to explain Ayatollah Khomeini. I asked him to explain Mossadegh, which was a 1950s, 1960s figure, to explain the Shah of Iran. And he wrote me a couple of paragraphs. And this was a couple of years, 3 or 4 years ago. And Lord Hemke, I'm not kidding you. It was eye-popping. He said the Persian Empire goes back to Xerxes,
sure,
and Darius.
Yeah.
It's 5,000 years.
Yes.
And they were battling with the Greeks. And they were battling not with the Romans. They were battling with the Greeks. And he said, they've got an enormous gold reserves And it's hidden in the mountains. It's hidden in the deserts. It's hidden all over the place, military installations. And I said, give me an estimate. And he said, don't know, 5 to 10,000 tons. Hard to say. But they never joined the Rothschild Central Bank franchise. And that is the point of contention. That is what angered the West. So they're always being sanctioned. They're always considered odd man. They're always picked on. You had the U.S. and Israel always cutting their undersea cables. You had all kinds of sabotage. You had the Stuxnet that the U.S. and Izzy produced for jamming through, you know, online mechanisms, internet mechanism, their nuclear facilities.
Yep.
And that all led up into the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, which I think is still viable, but I'm going to talk to my good source about that more, who actually was in Iran wearing headdress, attending the preliminary meetings to the Iran nuclear deal 6 and 8 years ago. Very good guy, very smart guy. And he said, Jim, I just had to be careful never to open my mouth.
Right.
Because he's wearing a headdress. He said, I blended unless I opened my mouth. So I took notes, kept to myself, and left. Okay. What we've got now is Mossadegh in the 60s was pushed out because he couldn't be controlled sufficiently. He wouldn't turn over the gold. So they brought in the peacock throne with the Shah.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not last very long.
No. Nope.
And very little is known by most Americans, but there are several hundred billionaires living in Southern California of Iranian descent. It's very weird. They're wealthy. I know one of them, but he's not a millionaire. He said, Jim, I used to be very well off, but the last several years have really almost killed me. He's got an LA, Los Angeles string of stores. And he used to be very well off. And he has his own story. He told me about how in Northern Italy, he was at a conference for clothing in Milan. This was back in February 2020. And he said, the Vatican is being raided, Jim. The Vatican is being raided. Every night, 20 police cars, people being taken out in handcuffs, trucks going in, dragging out assets. The Vatican is being raided. I said, is it in the Rome newspapers? He said, no. I said, good, that confirms it. It's in the tabloids. He said, yes, Rome has got 30 tabloids. Okay, back to Iran.
Hold on. Yeah, Jim, I remember we're a little short on time.
I know.
All right, so can I go back? And again, all these things are there. But nobody is, I mean, that's when your talent is connecting these dots. And again, you got the stuff coming out of China. You've got Moscow with their new gold standard exchange they're trying to develop as, you know, like a new standard price to replace the LBMA. And I'll give you one more, Jim. I mean, as soon as Russia shut down Nord Stream 1, apparently for good last Friday, as soon as they admitted it on Monday, within an hour or two, OPEC cut their production numbers by 100,000 barrels a day. I mean, isn't this stuff all kind of staring us right in the face, this cooperation?
Yes, Russia has weaponized their energy business. They're going to bring down the Davos Uber lords in Western Europe and the United States. They're going to bring down the Davos puppets. It'll be Olaf Scholz in Germany. It'll be Emmanuel Macron in France. They've already gotten rid of Mario Draghi in Italy. Italy is without a government now. They're without a coalition government.
Again.
You know, but yeah, it's pending, you know, a different coalition that's anti-Davos. They've gotten rid of Davos. The rest will domino in its effect. The Russians have decided we're going to cut our natural gas output. We're not going to feed and supply Western Europe. We want you to get rid of NATO. We want you to get rid of Davos. If you don't, your economies are going to collapse. Your people are going to die. You're going to freeze in the winter. You're not going to have any food. You're not going to have any factories. You know, fuck you guys in Davos. That's what the Russians are saying. And at the same time, Craig, they've opened up, I think it's called the Moscow Global Exchange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we now have a $2,500 gold price in Moscow, and we have less than an $1,800 price in London. And that, for those who aren't aware, is the 40-45% differential, which opens up arbitrage for any Russian oligarchs living in London.
Yeah, okay.
We're setting up a situation where the West is outside. I mean, the Western powers of, you know, Anglo-Americans and Europeans are outside looking in without supply, bankrupt, ruined economies, and Davos puppet leaders. It's all crashing down on Davos.
But, hey, Jim, let's go back to this use of the UAE. What's it called? Dinar? No, not
Dirham.
Dirham.
D-I-R-H-A-M.
All right. Because that's an interesting idea. You know, you'd always had this idea of the gold trade note as a way of facilitating trade. This sounds like, I mean, similar but different, but to the same extent that they'd have this reserve currency isn't the right term, but they have this standard.
Trade payment standard.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's what the UAE dirham is going to be, a trade payment standard that's tied to the dollar when all the markets remain in the dollar as accounting units.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of play ball, but still do their other.
It is a transition plan for the BRICS Plus, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's why I laughed so hard over a month ago. I was working on the July newsletter, and I had to walk around my apartment. I couldn't sit still. I thought, oh my gosh, that is their transition
plan. That's how they're going to do it.
That's how they're going to do it. And the U.S. is not going to sanction UAE. I've been looking for the last month. Is the United States trying to vilify, demonize UAE? No. We need their oil. We're begging them for oil. We're begging the Saudis for oil. Mm-hmm. And the morons in the United States, I'll just be very brief in this point. I think the Biden show has the Rockefellers running the energy policy in order to drive up the price of oil so that they can exit the petrodollar derivatives in the trillions.
Hmm.
That's why you saw, after the Biden show came into being in early 2020, the oil price went from negative to over 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's a historic rise. Okay, the Rockefellers are in charge of the petrodollar liquidation. I've got good information now from a client who did a consult, a former FDIC liquidating officer, and he said to me, Jim, you got it right. Bank of America is in bankruptcy, but you got it also right that it's been in bankruptcy since March. But also Wells Fargo is in bankruptcy. Also JP Morgan is in bankruptcy. Also Goldman Sachs is in bankruptcy.
And I said,
they're all in bankruptcy then. All Wall Street. And yet, now, let me just finish quick point.
Yeah, no, I just want to define that.
There's a BitChute video that shows a client in California paying off a $247,000 mortgage with Wells Fargo, and they did not get their title. Wells Fargo said, hire an attorney, have your attorney contact us to proceed. What does it mean? Wells Fargo is in bankruptcy and lost their assets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It is happening.
So again, bankruptcy, technical insolvency. How do you further want to define that?
I have kind of a math formula. Insolvency plus illiquidity equals bankruptcy.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. So they've been insolvent for 10 years.
Well, yeah. But go ahead.
What made the big banks insolvent was the lockdown. I mean, they killed themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, I cover a lot of this in the newsletter. It's impossible to get it all. Last month, for the end of August, I had a unique chapter because the FBI raid in the Trump compound in Florida, I think, was partly to recover evidence regarding the Russian dossier, but also to recover a lot of evidence for a challenge before the Supreme Court. And I believe it's going to be a challenge of the Patriot Act. There's a lot going on, including Chief Justice Roberts announced his resignation yesterday, and it's for the end of September before the election.
Well, so that would be interesting.
BRICS is expanding. It's becoming the global trade union that's non-dollar.
Yeah, well, actually, hold on. I'm sorry. I interrupted you again. I apologize. There's a little bit of a lag. That was another thing I wanted to ask you. That I was thinking while you were talking, it's non-dollar. Because the Europeans are going to end up so desperate, and because they're a market, will the euro still be?
I think the euro is somehow going to get linked with the Iranian currency
and be accepted still, yes. And where the dollar is excluded.
Yes, the Russians are going to create forex reserves in rial from Iran and euros from Europe. And don't forget that old, it was about 3 years ago, it made the news, the Instex.
The challenge to SWIFT.
It's a payment system alternative to Swiss for Iran-German transactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Germany might get out of this bind. We had the German finance minister or foreign minister. They call it FM. I don't know what it might have been. Foreign minister. The German foreign minister actually said, we will accept severe damage to the German economy and nation. We will defend Ukraine to the end.
Yeah, right, right.
There you have it. That's the first guy you fire or you throw him off the balcony.
Yeah.
To break his neck.
I think it was a gal, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a gal. I saw that too. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was a woman.
Yeah, okay. It was a woman.
We're going to see one nation after another follow Italy in dumping their Davos puppets. Hmm. The key is three nations. Germany with Schultz, just a male version of Merkel, Emmanuel Macron in France, and Rutte in Netherlands, and they just got rid of their agricultural minister because he could not take the tractor rebellion for all these ridiculous climate change nitrogen rules. Let's get rid of carbon dioxide. Let's get rid of nitrogen. Let's get rid of life on the planet, and then everybody will be happy. What stupidity.
Right.
We need to throw out these Davos. Okay, I am pretty sure, Craig, that Davos is dead.
Well, you know, Tom Luongo is a friend of mine, and he's been saying for a year that even Powell is fighting against Davos. And what, now I don't know about that, but I mean, that's what
I do. Yeah. Powell is part of the Fed.
Yeah.
And what we have now is the Fed and Wall Street at war.
Yeah.
With the following.
Mm-hmm.
It's BlackRock, Obama, holdovers, United Nations, World Health Organization, and Davos. And Wall Street is one.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Luongo was a friend of yours. That's quite interesting.
He's a smart guy. Very smart guy. Let me ask you, getting back to the changes, you know, we've been talking about this shit, Jim. I mean, 14 years since the financial crisis, you and I, since we've been friends, you know, 10 or 12 years. All of this de-dollarization has always moved at kind of a glacial pace, and then it kind of picked up to a snail's pace, and now maybe it's a tortoise pace. Could the coming winter, you know, the way it is shaping up in Europe, I mean, this is going to be, I mean, if it gets a deep freeze, could this be the event that really ramps up the speed of all this stuff?
Yes, it's how Davos gets disposed of and their puppet leaders. They've already gotten rid of Draghi in Italy. Next is Schultz in Germany, Macron in France, and Rutte in the Netherlands. It's going to happen.
Popular uprising?
We're going to wake up one day and they're gone. We're going to wake up one day and their parliaments announced that they're going to do a reform and create different coalitions.
No confidence.
And then we're going to ask the question, well, where's Macron? He's in Tahiti. I mean, golly, they're going to run for their lives.
Well,
they killed their countries.
Cold, hungry people are going to form some pretty manic mobs.
we're okay. It's not been in the news, but before Draghi resigned, the Italian parliament had a shift in response. Okay, a shift of their coalition that had Draghi as their leader, the prime minister for the leader of the coalition. But the five-star movement with Beppe, I can't think of his full name. Beppe, the former comedian, he established the five-star movement.
Yeah, whatever that
Beppe,
dude is.
I can't think of his name. But Beppe, he's just known as Beppe.
Too many. Yeah, too many names.
They had a demonstration in front of the Rome Parliament of 500,000 people.
Yeah. Wait until they're all freezing and dying.
The next day, they got rid of Draghi. And then for the next 2 weeks, the elites of Italy desperately tried to form a new coalition so that Draghi could be they're still their leader. And instead, all the rest of the cabinet fell apart. They're without a government. Davos is going to fall apart. It's going to happen, like you said, in the winter when the factories are shut, income is not there, homes are not heated, and they're all right out. They're out there all right now. Right now, they're out there looking for firewood. They're trying to make coal.
Right.
Coal contracts.
And I guess, and that's what I mean. So this finally could move pretty quickly because what other choice will the EU countries have?
They will have a choice of committing suicide in service to Davos and Satan.
Yeah.
Or get rid of their Davos puppet leaders.
And the dollar.
And then establish commerce with Russia. Russia has said, we're not going to supply gas unless you get rid of the sanctions. And that means get rid of Davos leaders.
And Davos, and by extension too, I mean, the dollar and dollar hegemony and the ties to all that have lasted 80 years because they won't have any choice.
They won't have any choice.
Choose themselves.
And then begins the central bank digital currency wars.
Yeah.
Because the East is creating these trade payment devices, the holdover, the patch job, the caretaker, the solution in transition is the UAE dirham, but they're going to create their own either gold-backed or resource-backed, commodity-backed currencies. And they're going to be at war with the dollar and the euro. And that's the next big fight. We'll talk about that next vacation time.
I tell you, Jim, you've done exactly what I had hoped you would do, and you've done it brilliantly. Again, I never like to have these just regular Friday conversations go on too long because people doing other stuff on the weekends, and then they don't want to queue up. Oh wow, this is an hour and 10. I'll never listen to it because I really wanted everybody to listen to this. So yeah, let's stop here and pick this back up. Say at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving or Halloween.
Yeah, really. Well, and by then, so much. I mean, we'll be already into winter. So much will have changed by then, Jim.
I know. And now we're into football season. This is cool. My Ohio State Buckeyes turned down the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, of whom they don't have any Irish, and I'm not sure that
didn't put up much fight either. Well,
Sure they're much Catholic either. Anyway, that's a French school that calls themselves Irish, and being half Irish, I don't like that. and being abused by Catholics when I was in high school, I didn't like that. So I never pulled for Notre Dame. My Buckeyes are doing well. We're loaded.
Yeah,
loaded.
They are.
It's going to be fun. Anyway,
by November. We'll know for sure that they're already in the playoffs and all that stuff.
I would imagine too. But also tonight is the launch of NFL season.
Yes, it is.
Sunday we get to see Tom Brady. I found out why he had his time away. His wife was really, really angry.
Yeah.
That he came back and unretired, they're saying. So I'm thinking that he made a deal with his wife to retire and then broke it.
Right.
I have bet
the under this year on Tampa Bay win total. If anything, because you and I both know the adage, happy wife, happy life, right? And I got a sneaky feeling he may have a mystery injury that leads to the final retirement. Just saying. We'll see.
Well, his offensive line will assure that he gets hit very often.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, enough of that. Tonight is the launch of Thursday night. I'm very excited about the expanded BRICS, BRICS Plus.
Yep.
I'm very excited about Iran becoming a full-fledged member in the Community of Nations. I'll check again, but I'm pretty sure that the nuclear deal is on, and the United States is doing what it can to try to nix it at the last moment when 9 of 10 steps have been completed.
Yeah, right.
Ain't
right.
going to happen, in my opinion, but we'll see.
Well, my friend, we'll pick this back up in a couple of months. And thank you so much. And I know everybody has found this valuable.
www.golden-jackass.com. That's right. I'm having a really good rebound, Craig.
Good.
I'm hearing that a lot of other analysts are not. It's pretty sad what's going on. I've got my share of cancellations, but I got a lot of new clients coming in.
Good.
And a lot of consults. I did a consult 1 hour before the show here. A guy out west. Anyway, I'm available for consults. 30, 60, 90 minutes. Got the Hat Trick Letter. It's the only newsletter for the website. Things are going strong. And I wish everybody safe time. You got to wake up to the fact that the vaccine is designed to reduce the population.
I think most people here are up to speed on that.
Very good.
The viability.
I've got
the
a friend
efficacy.
Who knows 220 people, friend of friend, who are dead.
You can't help but see it every day. People dropping dead from blood clots. And like, well, anyway, we can get into that again.
And the Indiana Life Insurance Company is at 12 standard errors above the mean. And 7 standard errors is 1 chance in 100 trillion.
And a guy with a PhD in statistics would be familiar with that information, wouldn't he?
I calculated with a certain approximation the tail probability for being beyond whatever number, X standard deviation. So I plugged in 7 and I got 1 in 100 trillion.
Yeah, it's pretty unlikely. About the chance of me getting a hole in one, since I've never had one in 40.
Well, there aren't
years.
That many days in the history of the planet Earth.
Of the universe. Anyway, okay. Jim, let's go. Thank you very much,
good.
My friend. I appreciate it. And you stay safe too. All right, brother.
Okay, very good. All right, bye now. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.